And we're going to come back in a moment with Bill Warwick. We're going to take your calls. We'll also talk more about Hopi prophecy on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Bill Warwick. Bill, the end of Hopi prophecy doesn't have a good ending for the world at all. Tell us about the Blue Star Kachina, which Kachina also means spirit. And tell us what this prophecy is.
Yes, so one of the teachings from one of the Masons, from one of the elders, the Blue Star Kachina prophecies basically say that the Kachinas will dance in the plaza, and when they take off their mask and reveal themselves to some children, that this will indicate that the quote unquote end times, the great purification, will be upon us. I think everybody who's listening probably knows that story. That was one of the first questions I asked Grandfather Malava when I first, talking about some of these things. And I can't speak to that because that's not what his information has. Because everyone has to remember that there are seven different Masons, and each Mesa has its own traditions, right? Stories that have been created, passed down from father to son, generation to generation to generation. So the story that I understand about the Blue Star Kachina has nothing to do with any of that stuff at all. What I can tell you, because I want to be careful what I say, I don't want to say things that might be incorrect, and I also don't want to overstep my bounds.
Sure. Or panic people.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Or even panic people.
Yes. Thank you, George.
Yeah.
So apparently, from what I understand, is that there will be some kind of celestial, I don't know if we want to say comet or asteroid, it's going to be something space-borne, okay? And it's apparently going to orbit, it's going to make a pass, let's say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that we're going to all kind of see it or hear about it or know about it, or maybe we won't if the government keeps it secret. We don't know. The whole entire Earth will have an opportunity to sort of contemplate its demise. Let's put it that way, okay? And then if the Earth, if the people of the Earth don't change, if they don't change our ways, if we don't become more environmentally friendly, if we don't stop killing every other species on the planet, if we don't become more responsible individually as well as it, between nations, between people, businesses even, right? Then the chastisement or the purification will come. So there'll be a period where we may have an opportunity to really wake up and change the path that we're on, and then once we pass that sort of period of redemption, so to speak, then everything else will come as a result of that.
So there is time
for us to change the path that we're on, but it's closing really, 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 really quickly.
Too fast, too. And they've also talked about another major war that tears apart the United States. Do you hold much credence with that prophecy?
I think that the spiritual war that we're fighting right now amongst ourselves, the division in the United States that we have, especially the Mayans, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. Wandering Wolf made it clear that the weapons that we have created, these weapons of mass destruction, we have the largest military force in the world. We have more weapons per 360 million weapons, handguns and rifles, 360 million people. Well, what happens if we lose the power grid? What happens if the crust shifts a couple of degrees like it did tens of thousands of years ago, which it does periodically? We're not prepared for that. We're not even prepared for COVID. We can't even get masks out, N95 masks out. How are we going to deal with a true crisis? That's the question. That's what the Hopi are telling us. That's what they've been telling us, is that, we're not ready for what's coming. So if we don't spiritually prepare ourselves to be ready, be more compassionate, de-escalate, right? if we all have weapons and everything goes bad, guess what? Half the people are going to kill the other half of the people.
Yep.
And all that's going to be left are the people that are peaceful.
The Hopis.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm concerned about the asteroid because I think it's not a matter of if, but when. And it just seems like the Hopis truly believe this thing is going to happen. I mean,
I'm going to leave it at this. There are two huge asteroids orbiting Mars right now called Phobos and Deimos, Fear and Terror.
Which they call their moons.
Yes. And they are on an ecliptic. Their orbital inclination is less than 1 degree, which means they're basically orbiting at the same inclination as Mars, which is 24 degrees, and our inclination is 23.5 degrees. They're perfectly placed so that if they were for some reason dislodged from their orbit, that they could easily leave their orbit and enter our orbit at just the right time and just the right place. Not just one, but both of them. And let's just leave it at that. I mean, I don't know.
We'll have some fun with our callers. Let's go to calls now, and we'll do this for the rest of the hour. Joe, east of the Rockies in Long Island, New York. Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Very interesting presentation. My first thing would be the idea that prophecies are always intentional. I'm not sure about that. I think in some cases they're inadvertent. Like, for example, if you look at the song American Pie by Don McLean, the song is precisely 2020. And I don't think Don McLean knew that when he wrote that song, probably way back when. And also, it sounds like the ant people must have been fairly adaptable if they were able to intermingle with the Egyptians way back when. And could you elaborate on that, their adaptability? Could they have gone on ships? I guess they wouldn't have had romances with the people, but to what extent were they able, do you think, to intermingle with other classes of beings or people? And also, finally, I just want to ask you about the nuclear testing. Could that have done damage to the polar caps?
Okay. Three different questions there. I'm only going to be probably have time to deal with two of them. So nuclear pulse detonation resonance, yes, absolutely. Not just to the caps, but...
all over the planet.
All over the place, yes, absolutely. That's kind of the reason why they had to stop it, I think, also as well. That's a big secret. I won't get into it too much here. The second question, it's a good question. I actually think that the ant people might be the Igigi of the Sumerian Anunnaki stories. So if you know anything, if you recall, the Anunnaki actually, before they created humans, had a kind of a lower class of gods, so to speak, that were called the Igigi. Nobody really knows what they are or who they were or what they are, but I actually think that the ant people were the original slaves for the Anunnaki that they enslaved. And it makes sense because they were a bit stronger than the humans, and they kind of have a hive mind.
Well, and they were diggers, and they were looking for gold.
Absolutely, mining, absolutely. Spot on, George, spot on. So so I actually think that the ant people were the Igigi, and actually there's an incredible story that Grandfather Malava has been telling me about, that the blue men took the Igigi to the moon to do mining on the moon as well.
Interesting.
He showed me a picture of this X symbol on the moon.
So they've left our planet.
Yes. So the answer to your question, sir, Joe, was yes, there's evidence. And so also, too, this gets even better. So I'm trying to remember all these different things at once. Let's just pause. So I think the Igigi rebelled against their slave masters, if we're interpreting that story correctly, and they broke all their tools, and it was the first strike, right? The first union strike, and that's actually what forced the Anunnaki to create humans, because the Igigi broke all their tools and said we're not working anymore. And so for some reason, that kind of ties in with the ant
people's stories that the Hopi have been telling me about, I think.
He also wanted to know about prophecies, if they may be intentional or not. And
what do you think? I have experienced clairvoyance myself. I actually wrote a paper in college about it, the biomagnetic component to that all humans have, that allows certain humans to be more clairvoyant than others. So it's not coincidence at all. Absolutely not. It could be scientifically proven.
Next up, let's go to Doc in Petaluma, California. Hi, Doc. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, George. I listen to you every night.
Thank you.
Bill, now the ant people, they took the Hopis down inside the Earth, I guess, because of a nuclear asteroid strike. Is that correct? And how long was it that they took them into the Earth for? How long did they have to stay down there before they could come back to the outside world and actually, strike up their living again?
Yes, that's actually, that's part of their cosmology origin stories, that the, let me get this straight, the first one, and it's very late and I apologize, but there was three previous civilizations that were destroyed. One was by fire, one was by ice, one was by flood. And the particular story you're talking about, we believe, it involved an asteroid strike. It could have even been the one that hit in Arizona that's so famous, that was 50,000 years ago. So we believe that story is 50,000 years old, and they actually went into the caverns of the ant people in the Grand Canyon, which might be the areas where it's off limits now. The ant people invited them to come live with them. During this period of time, warned them about the asteroid coming. You have to ask yourself, how do they know about that, right? Stayed down perhaps in those caverns for tunnels for thousands of years, we think, and then came out, according to the stories that Grandfather Malavra has been kind enough to share with us, that I understand.
Are the Hopi myths, Bill, controversial?
I think they're only controversial not to me. I mean, to me, it's history. It's the history that we can't find in the history books, just the unwritten history of the world. And when you go and you read these stories, and then you go back and you look at the geological records, when was the last time we had a large asteroid strike, and then 50,000 years ago, and then, all the various phases of civilization occur with the interglacial periods, like, the melting of the ice caps, the melting of the glaciers, the wobbling of the earth that would have occurred as a result of that. Charles Hapgood's theory, it's not a theory anymore, of a crustal place displacement. It's an overwhelming amount of evidence now that we have available to us that says that, this is what happened. And it's just for us to basically, it's for the academics, I guess, to rewrite their own history books. But I mean, for anyone that's intelligent enough to look at the same evidence we're all looking at, it's pretty clear. I mean, you don't have to be a PhD in any particular thing to understand all of this. You just have to have an open mind and be willing to listen to what they're saying, and understand that it's truth.
Are the mud people the same as the ant people?
Okay, so yes. So indigenous species to the earth.
Interesting.
Again, which might be confused for extraterrestrials.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're all gone now.
I'm sorry?
They're all gone now, right? They're not on the planet anymore? Tucked away in the inside?
No. The mud people and the ant people are still here.
They're here, okay.
From what I understand, there's the stone people, which I don't know a lot about, and then there's the blue men, which I'm still learning about, and then there's the true extraterrestrials, which is a whole other thing, and then there's the interdimensionals, which is another whole other thing entirely. So, there's a lot going on there. Like, the Hopi, I'm telling you, there's so much there. An anthropologist, we could study this for the next 100 years.
Let's go to Joan in Alaska, west of the Rockies, where their three electoral votes are still up in the air. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
Joni, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I have two questions. First, some years ago, we went to a botanical garden in Arizona, and there was a book on the Hopi which said that they kept and observed a Feast of Tabernacles, which is a biblical festival. What do you know about that?
Anything about that, Bill?
So, yes. So there is some evidence to suggest that part of the Hopi traditions and some of their traditions would indicate, let's just keep it simple, you know, that they're one of the lost tribes of Israel.
Oh, really? That's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
I never heard that.
Well, it's funny because we've also found this in Mayanism, too.
Maybe they have the Ark of the Covenant or something.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I think, so for instance, you know, the candelabra, the seven candles, could be representative also of the seven stars of the Pleiades, so there could be different things that actually originated with the Maya and the Hopi, which got into other traditions, like the Judaic tradition, that we think of Judaism, which came through Sumerian, but which may have actually come from Maya, because the Maya are actually an offshoot. They are the Atlanteans. Let's just call it what it is. So they're from the Pleiades. They're the Redskin people who are from the Pleiades. And so they were the original people from Atlantis. And so the word Aztlan, for instance, is Aztec. It means white. The people from the place that's white. What that means is the actual, they were from a place called Tierra del Fuego, which is used to be not covered with ice, but close to the ice. And then when the pole shift occurred, 10,500 years ago, because the ice at the bottom of Antarctica melted, so the Earth began to wobble again, the crust shifted about 15 degrees, and the equator moved, and to where it is today. And when it did that, that put what used to be Atlantis into frozen under the ice caps. Under the ice caps right now. That's what everybody's going there for because of all this stuff.
Let's get Joan's second question in. Go ahead, Joni.
Thank you. What is the significance and the uniqueness of Kachina dolls?
Yeah, what are the dolls? They're called spirit dolls, basically, aren't they, Bill?
Yes. So the Kachina dolls are basically, 3D manifestations. They're basically creating, yes, you could call them spirit dolls, but they also can represent actual beings, spirits, interdimensional forces or ideas, right? Which to them have the same effect as, so an interdimensional, so an idea has the same force, as like a spiritual entity has the same force as a real person, if you can think of it like that. So what they try to do is they think of the Kachina dolls as being a 3D representation here in our space, right, of that, whatever that Kachina doll represents, whether it's fertility or rain or, massage, or, I mean, they've got spirit dolls for everything that you can think of, right? So I think that's a good way to think of it. Not necessarily to think the dolls are like gods, but what those spirit dolls represent to them.
All right, Bill, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Bill Warwick with us. He's got a DVD called The Phoenix Incident, by the way. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. On our next Coast to Coast program, Doc Wallach joins us from criticalhealthnews.com, so I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll have some other great programs for you. We'll be talking about strange things with a psychologist as well, so make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with your calls, and Bill Warwick. Bill, what are you working on these days after all of this?
Yeah, so we thought it would be a really good idea to actually create a GoFundMe. I've never done a GoFundMe project. I've usually financed all of my projects individually over the years, tens of thousands of dollars.
Yourself.
But we thought, why not open this up for other people to get involved with? There's so many people that are fascinated by the Hopi teachings, actually, so we thought, why don't we help Malava get these things not only published, which is a feat in and of itself, but also to get them published and translated. So I created a GoFundMe page called the Hopi Legacy Project, and if anyone would like to donate to that, even if it was a dollar, We would appreciate it, and that's going to help to document more of these stories, to work with more of these elders in the Hopi community, and then hopefully maybe even extend it to the Navajo and other communities as the project as it gains some steam. So if anyone is listening and would love to help contribute to that, we'd love to have you.
Now, I don't have a website for you. I have a Facebook account. Is that all you have?
Yeah, I don't. I've got multiple companies that I manage. I don't really have time for it. So the WikiLeaks UFOs on Facebook is a good way to communicate. And, of course, the Hopi Legacy Project right now is the one thing that I'm trying to focus on while Malava is still healthy with us and able to translate these things. Once he passes away, he said many times, that's it. There's no other elders that can even translate the stuff that he has. So it's really time is of the essence, I think. And I think if certainly the story that he just told the other day on Halloween, I think your producers have that right now. It's unbelievable. It's like listening to a prophecy that was written 90 years ago about headlines of today. Like it's chilling to think that this was written 100 years ago or more, and it's describing exactly what's going on right now.
Great. Let's go to Ed in Charlotte, North Carolina, to get our final segment rolling here. Edward, go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot, George.
Thank you, Eddie.
First, the Great Pyramid latitude, 29.9792 north, is perfectly the speed of light in the metric system of 299,792 miles per second.
Wow.
And there's other analogies with Stonehenge and these latitudes, so there's a lot of... And let me tell you, I got an important question, William. I need you, and you, Mike, can be the only person to answer this if you talk and ask the Hopi about this. But as a prerequisite, I think it was Isaac Newton predicted the pyramid dimensions, and they measured them, and he was wrong, and he passed away. Well, decades later, they realized, you know, the pyramid's been here a while. We've had some sandstorms. So they rake away 20 or 30 feet of sand and get to the base of the pyramid and remeasure, and Newton was dead right. Now, there's a man that goes in a stream in the last 10 years out west, and when he's in this stream, he gets psychic stuff from people from space that are coming back, and they're telling him they're coming back that they built the pyramids. Maybe they had the ant people build them. This guy went to a couple of university people and scared the heck out of them, because I'm not going to tell you why they're coming. But they told him the date they would arrive. And get this. I looked. It's one of the few things I've done on a computer. It took me a half an hour. I finally found where NASA has taken pictures of the pyramid from up at the space station. And in the date, I think, is 2012, the one I found. And down there in the stones that are along like a patio around the pyramid is the date in English, 2021. They're going to be back. They're going to arrive whatever that month and day is of 2021. And I have not found anybody, and you can see it. You can pull it up on the computer and see it. They enlarge from space. You can even see the barracks near the pyramid and stuff. And I'm hoping you can ask and find out, you know, why that, and why is it in English? I mean, did they know that English would be the dominant language of the world when they came back? I that's why I'm trying to find out why that date's there.
Know anything about that, Bill?
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to, but what I can maybe shed a little bit of light on is that there is a bend in the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, when the casing stones are removed. Everybody thinks that the Great Pyramid has four sides. It doesn't. It actually has eight sides. There's a little bit of a bend in the very middle of each side. Each of the four sides of the Great Pyramid can only be seen, or it's best seen, on the equinox. Now, here's a funny thing. We know that the Great Pyramid was placed exactly north, south, east, and west on the cardinal points. So the question then becomes, when will the equinox show that? And it's only once every 25,000 years, well, twice theoretically, that it would be perfect, the high point and the low point. So about 12,500 years ago, when supposedly the Great Flood occurred because the icebergs were all melting, washed away the old pyramid that was there before and was rebuilt by, we think, the ant people. And so when they built it at that time period. And because we're at the other apex of that precessional cycle, which is 25,000 years, that's why we see the equinox shadow line on the pyramid today. We wouldn't see it necessarily as well at other time periods because we would be out of sync with the precession of the equinoxes. So it's interesting that when you take away the casing stones, what we see today shows us and only shows us the time period that we would see now, just as Chichen Itza shows us the snake that comes down the side of the pyramid. So it could be an actual time clock of when the last event occurred and warning us that the next event is coming up now, that we're in the same time period where these events can occur again.
Bill, are the Hopi particularly spiritual? I would say yes, I would guess.
Oh, yes. I mean, in so many different ways. I mean, if you could look at your average indigenous community and say they're spiritual, then the Hopi would be like the spiritual guardians of the spiritual. Let's put it that way.
Let's go to Joe in the Bronx in New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
George, how are you?
All right, Joey, thank you.
Good. Bill, you mentioned, I believe earlier, Mossad as being a Hopi god. And you mentioned a little while ago about the Hopis being the lost tribe of Israel. I guess they're the equivalent of the Israeli CIA.
The Mossad?
Yeah, is there any connection or link other than the lost tribe of Israel with Israel?
No, not really. I mean, that's a complicated question. And when I say Mossad, we're not talking about, you said Mossad as in the special forces of Israel? I just want to be clear.
It's like the CIA.
No, I think we're confusing. No. Massar is Massau. That's their kind of creator god, who brought them to basically to the Hopi, the Mesas in Arizona, from I think actually the Great Pyramid. So there is actually probably sort of this biblical Exodus overtone story to it, but I think we are putting our own biblical Old Testament / New Testament slant on their original story, which has nothing to do with our stuff. So we may be seeing parallels because we come from a biblical sort of, you know, background, but it may just be that their story is so similar to what other people went through at the time that the Egyptian might have, the story of the Pharaoh might be just a watered down version of the truth, meaning that was the Anunnaki. Like the Pharaoh just became the symbol of the Anunnaki, right? The metaphor of the Anunnaki was the Pharaoh, and we all rebelled against the Pharaoh, but it was really the Anunnaki and the Igigi, where the ant people rebelled against the Anunnaki, and we rebelled against the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki might not even be the Anunnaki, it might be something totally different. We just don't even understand. We just call it the Anunnaki, right? And so I think that might be the actual truth to these stories, rather than, you know, them being the actual descendants or related to actual people who may be consider themselves Jewish. Right?
Are the Hopis monotheists? Do they believe in a god, one god?
No, absolutely. I would not say that at all.
Aha.
Uh-huh. And okay. I wouldn't even say they're polytheistic. I would say that they believe in a nature, so to speak, of a cosmology, like a one of everything, I guess. So I guess you could call it monotheism in that respect, but then they also have these other understandings of, like, dimensional understandings, so to speak. So there's this dimension of things, and then there's another dimension of things, and then there's layers, right? So, and it really, it's an understanding of things that are so far advanced than what we can even understand right now. It's like on a whole nother level. I really just, and I just hope that we as Western people, myself included, have enough time to understand and comprehend what they're trying to teach us, because I think it's really the difference between life and death for the entire planet. I'm not trying to be overdramatic.
Let's go to Kathy in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kath.
Yeah, I helped edit the book, Light on the Return Path by John Kimmy, which is an updated Hopi prophecy authorized by the Hopi elders, by the way. But I'm wondering if a statement I read in The Secret History of Extraterrestrials by Len Kasten, that the USA would be covered by radiation and the Hopi lands would be the only safe space left, I wonder if that would be referring to the radiation from 3, 4, and 5G telecommunications.
I think they were talking about it from a war, nukes, but go ahead, William.
Yes. So here's what I can tell you. The Hopi are very aware of nuclear power, and they were told, actually, the story that Grandfather Malava just shared was about how the white brother told the red brother about how they had hydrogen, for instance, you know, how there would be uranium and minerals found under their lands, and then people would come and want to take it away from them, and how they were supposed to be the protectors and the guardians of that land to make sure that, you know, certain things were protected. So I think the danger of these weapons that we have getting out of control and causing destruction has already been widespread. Fukushima, Three Mile Island, I mean, there's 110 nuclear power plants, nuclear facilities, about 100 nuclear active nuclear power plants in the United States right now. And we only need one of them to have a little incident. And if it's 90 of them east of the Mississippi River, right? So, I mean, if we were to have a catastrophic anything, right? Let's just say a 1 degree shift of the Earth's crust, right, to account for the melting of the poles, melting of the ice caps, which hasn't happened in 10,000 years, right? Let's say 10 of them go scramble. Well, the whole East Coast is going to be done.
Sure.
Right? Probably most of the Earth will be destroyed, right? So, I mean, I think that the message of the Hopi has never been more prescient than right now, is that, you know, we've got to start, you know, thinking about the idea that our civilization can and will be destroyed. It's been destroyed in the past, according to them, at least 4 times, and we're heading into the 5th period of time where it's going to happen again. So we can either go into this blindly and divided and this, that, and the other thing, and think we're on top of everything with all of our technology, and have it go shut off like that in a heartbeat, and see what happens to them, why, right? Or the alternative is we're cognizant of these things, we listen to these teachings, we start to get our society off of oil and all these other things, we go off the grid completely, every home, which would create thousands of jobs, reinvigorate our economy, and that can be the future that we have, so that when these things do happen, right, we don't have this huge catastrophic thing. It's just like Wandering Wolf said, you know, the lights go off for 72 hours and then they come on and it's like the new day. You know, for them, that's what the whole Bakhtun calendar is all about. 2012 is the beginning of the time period when these things are going to happen.
Bill, are you concerned about Hopi prophecy? I mean, does it scare you?
Terrifies me.
Oh, wow.
Terrifies me.
If you're terrified, then we should be shaking in our boots.
I understand it. I'm sorry?
We should be shaking in our boots if it terrifies you.
If you knew what I knew.
I would be. Yep. I think so, too.
Yeah.
Well, we're wrapping things up. How do people find you on Facebook?
Yeah, WikiLeaks UFOs and the Hopi Legacy Project on GoFundMe would be the best way to communicate both ways. Thank you.
And they can still see the Phoenix Incident on DVD?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon, absolutely. But make sure you put in the Phoenix Incident 2008, because there's another one which is made in 2015, which is like a B horror flick. That's not my movie.
Super. Keep in touch with us, Bill, okay?
Sounds great. Good talking to you, George. Be safe. God bless.
You too. Great. The Hopi prophecy has always fascinated me. Are they things that will be or could be? That's the most important thing. We'll stick with us tomorrow for the first couple hours. Doc Wallach from CriticalHealthNews.com joins us, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the supernatural on Coast to Coast. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.